Welcome to the MindCore Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to promoting radical intellectualism, radical education, that is to say, intelligent people that are not necessarily in the aristocratic academy, that people all over are smart, and smart people want to communicate, we want to express our ideas, and we want to have a productive interchange. So welcome to the MindCore Podcast. Today's episode is going to be about food.
I'm on a diet.
Yeah, we both are on diets, and so are most of the people of the world, the Western world, I think.
Yes, I hate food officially. Food disgusts me.
So we're going to kickstart you in with a little bit of a food porn from the Olsen twins.
Now we're feeling kind of hungry. We gotta make a munchies. Time to make our pizza. As big as some munchies. How much pizza do you think we can chow? More than our parents would ever allow.
Alright, so one of the things I wanted to talk about to kickstart this, Diana, and I guess I didn't introduce this. I'm Enrique Requero. This is Diana Sparks. We are the host of this here MindCore podcast.
Indeed.
And as we said before, the Olsen twins made us all want to eat pizza. Today's episode is about food. We were wanting to talk about food in contemporary culture, the science of food, and basically how radical Nietzschean transhumanists should deal with these issues.
Yeah, and there's so much out there about food that it's kind of tedious, but we kind of want to talk about it in a smart way, not in a, you know, blurby kind of way. And yeah, we just kind of want to intelligently talk about food, as opposed to like glamour talk about food or cosmopolitan talk about food.
Yeah, but even though like the book I'm holding in my hand right now like has a review from Oprah on the cover.
Ooh, girl.
So I guess we're not that far off. And, you know, and the fact that even all this kind of contemporary mainstream stuff exists about food speaks to the fact that it's a problem. That for some reason, at least in the first world, in the Western, you know, industrialized world, we tend to be overweight. At least that's what it seems like. I don't have any data. I haven't researched it. I don't have a good citation for you. But I do believe that I've encountered some credible articles about that before.
Yeah, and just think about it, you know, when you're in a, you know, area, let's say the mall, mm-hmm. let's say you're in Old Navy, you know, if you're average size whatsoever to like, even to like the beginnings of obese, you can probably look around and find somebody fatter than you. That makes it hard to diet, you know, because then you feel like an asshole, like, you know, like, I had to do it several times today, and just the normal course of my day, refuse food, and be perceived as a total bitch. And I even say, I'm on a diet. If I eat that, I have to write it in my journal, and I show them my journal, and they're like, you're not that fat.
No, people
get mad at you.
One thing that Diana and I have both experienced in our attempts to diet recently are that there is definitely a food culture, at least where, at least in Texas, definitely in Chile and South America, where I'm originally from.
Well, probably the entire American South.
Yeah, it's people, there's all kinds of social behavior that's associated with eating. And the first book I wanted to discuss, which is Mindless Eating by Brian Wansink, PhD. I've read about half of this book. This book is, it's unlike most books about dieting, it doesn't tell you anything at all about nutritional facts. It says, you know, these things are not, like, basically common sense. We all know what's going to be bad for you. The trick is to figure out why our minds are betraying us. Like, everybody who's overweight says, I don't care or whatever, but I know that personally I have a standard for my physical appearance that I would like to achieve. And that's someone that would be to be physically fit and to be, you know, basically to be happy with the way I look without my shirt off.
Yeah, and I'm definitely not hating on anyone overweight. And, you know, there's people that are into being overweight, and there's people that are into fucking people who are overweight. And God love you if that's what you want to do. But the fact of the matter is it isn't healthy. It is, sorry. And most of us don't want to be overweight. for aesthetic reasons.
I guess that's a good disclaimer, is that here at the Mindcore Podcast, we believe that people should, first of all, they should know what they want out of life, and then that they should pursue that strongly as possible.
Yeah, and if your goal is to be 400 pounds, that's fine.
Yeah, we all have things that we're into, but for the majority... For the majority of probably our listeners, and for Diana and I, the goal is to be physically attractive. I think we're both attractive people, and I think
I'm fucking hot.
You know,
it's a little chubby. It's cute.
Right.
Chubby,
well, that's the thing.
Cute chubby.
Is that a lot of us? The only things that are preventing us from looking exactly the way we look is our weight.
Yeah.
That's definitely my number one issue with my appearance, and I believe it affects my whole self-confidence in the way that I carry myself, the way that I perceive myself.
Let's say you do get fit tomorrow. The fitness fairy comes in your bed. and you're totally thin and fit. Wouldn't you find something new to be worried about? Don't you think?
Well, I kind of actually have a battle plan for how to progress on that, which is... I've decided that I'm not going to lose weight, and partially because of the stuff I've been reading in books like this Brian Wensing book and the other books we're going to discuss, because mostly what I've been researching is the psychology of overeating, that I see that if I can achieve this goal to the principles that I have to apply, the habits that I have to apply, the reprogramming that I have to apply is in a small scale, very similar to the kind of shit that I need to do to achieve my major goals. Like, how am I going to have, like, a publishing company, which is something that Diana and I both really want to come out of this podcast, if I can't even keep myself from fucking eating too many hamburgers or pizza or eating hamburgers at all? Because, as you know, I'm ethically, I agree with vegetarianism, but I'm eating meat like a fucking idiot.
Well, and there is the fact of the matter that you can't quit food cold turkey.
Yeah.
But there is something to be said about being disciplined. Like, I want to be disciplined. I want to be so fucking ninja core, like, disciplined about what I eat, how I manage my time. I want to be ninja core about relaxing, because that's something I don't have time to do ever. And I think we all kind of want that, but it's, like, so hard to overcome that inertia. Like, you think you could just decide to do something and that be the end of it, you know? I realized there's a problem. I need to stop scratching my nuts in public, or whatever your problem is. You think once you've come to that conclusion, like, I guess, you know, that's kind of a Freudian thing that we've kind of, like, been trained to think that once you realize you have a problem, you can fix it. But then that's not the case with anything, ever. So why is that? What prevents you from making the decision to do it and then acting on it immediately?
Well, this leads into the kind of stuff that's in this Brian Wensink book, Mindless Eating, that I'm eager to get to, which is basically that humans are these psychological engines. Our brains, the way our brains are built, is at the very center of the brain is your brain stem and basic autonomic functions. This is kind of a good general model of the brain. There's exceptions to that, but sticking to it. And then there, above that, geographically above that, and well, that's just to say that, you know, bulimia is not simply just people who throw up to lose weight, that there has kind of, especially with the internet and people communicating with each other about this kind of stuff and little subcultures emerging about it, and for people who grew up, like, in our age group, this kind of hinders back to the day of the fanzine. There probably were bulimic and anorexic fanzines, and we just didn't know about it.
Ew.
That'd be interesting to research. Well, anyways, so next is anorexia.
Anorexia. Yeah, like I said, I have great dieting tips if you know the level of crazy that you're at. And I would put myself out of like a 6 out of 10, and I think that's healthy enough.
So 10 is like not anorexic?
No, 10 is like Kate Moss.
Oh.
Tennis Kate Moss, you've achieved anorexia perfection.
But she doesn't overdo it. So where do we put the people that are, like, in the hospital because they're dying of their anorexia?
Okay, so maybe my scale doesn't work. But anyway.
Well, maybe we should make them, like, 15s or something.
Well, like, what I think is that some people just have an extraordinary amount of willpower, and this is how they're choosing to use it, and who am I to fucking tell them what to do with their bodies? They're fucking their own goddamn adults. I mean, if you're underage, obviously somebody should fucking tell you to cut it the fuck out, because that can kill you. Well, anorexia could kill you, period.
But we're being, when you're young, listen,
it's really dangerous.
If you don't, if anybody, I mean, we definitely, and I mean, really, we're, the three of us, we're grown-ups, and we don't want kids to fuck themselves up. But the people who are going to really be, the people who really make these countercultures and subcultures are teenagers. We're now just old observers.
Oh, yeah, and that's obvious. Like, if you look at pro-Anna blogs and Tumblrs, they're made by 15-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But we also, everybody I've met who's anorexic or bulimic that I've known well enough to be able to see that side of them has been in my 20s and up.
Yeah.
And then there's thinspo, which is another term that I learned from looking at the pro-Anna, pro-Mia sites. Could you define that for me?
That's thinspiration. It's pictures that are supposed to make you feel inspired to want to be skinny. So basically, it's like, when you want to eat, you guilt trip yourself with these pictures of these impossibly thin models. And one of the big, like, things that you're trying to achieve is a thigh gap. So, like, if you stood with your ankles together, would you have a gap between your thighs?
You know, I fucking love thighs. I really do. Well, I guess, and we're going to come back to talking more about anorexia and bulimia, but just the fact that I just said that and talking about the idea of beauty and weight and how this relates to food, I guess we've gotten really off topic with the books. Sorry, guys, but pretty much any time I cite any kind of neuroscience or psychology of food, and it's just not just that me pontificating out of my arse. I'm quoting those books we mentioned earlier. But we were talking just briefly about fat porn.
Ew.
So there's a whole genre of pornography.
I prefer clown porn myself.
See, I'm at present, I'm neutral about clown porn, but
clown porn is awesome.
Did
I tell you about the clown porn I saw?
No.
Let me describe it to you just real briefly.
On our food episode?
Well, hey, I'm getting there. Okay, so like this girl's taking a shower, right? And she's like this blonde chick, big tits, whatever. And then she turns around and she screams like a horror movie scream. And then she sees that it's a fucking clown, and then she starts laughing, and then the clown shoves a pie in her face real hard, and then she sucks his dick. Isn't that great?
Well, you know, even though I'm not into clown porn, I've probably watched like 3 or 4 porno movies that I really love that were centered around a cake.
Like cake farts?
No, I did not like cake farts. I do not like seeing the butthole portrayed in that way.
That is some unhealthy fucking obsession with food and digestive tracts and what the fuck ever.
Cake fart is one of those things that Tosh.0 would show every 5 seconds if he wasn't on television with censorship. It's basically, I mean, just Google it. You're going to get it. You will be disgusted unless you're into cake farts. I mean,
it's a girl farting on a cake.
Do what thou wilt.
And there's another.
No, but you get like, Diana is not giving enough description
of her farting on raw meatloaf. Just move the mouse. Don't hit the space bar. Come on.
You get her butthole opening up in front of the camera.
Yeah, and farting into the cake that is brown.
It looks like it's going to stick its tongue out at you. It's terrifying. I can't handle what it's terrible.
And the duty frosting's on her butt.
See, for me, that would be my thinspo.
Okay. She also farts on a raw meatloaf. But yeah, that's a tip that I got off of an anorexic website was every time you eat, watch something disgusting. Like, have a picture with you of something disgusting that you make yourself watch when you eat.
That would work. It's very Pavlovian, but that's how the nervous system generally works. This is the thing is that Diane, I think I speak for both of us that, at least on some level, we have kind of a contempt for bulimia as a kind of a weakness. And you know, and if there's somebody out there who's listening and who's bulimic and who you're like an adult bulimic and you're like, no, I got this down to a science, then send us your shit. We'll look at it. We'll review it. There's no censorship about conversation on the Mindcore podcast. But that's just our general impression. But with the anorexia on a certain level, you're like, there is this kind of like worship of willpower that's kind of like, we're both into Nietzsche, the philosophy of Nietzsche. I'm also, as we'll discuss in another episode, really into Aleister Crowley, who also thought willpower was like the only divine thing, basically.
Yeah, well, okay, let's say they were fucking Chinese monks doing the same exact shit, but they were doing it because they were Chinese monks.
Well, and the yogis do that. The yogis starve themselves as part of their meditation, a lot of them,
yeah,
in India.
And they're holy.
And I can give citations if anyone wants.
And a lot of these websites, the Pramana websites, make an argument that it's a lifestyle choice. It's not an illness, you know. And what I would, my opinion, which is just my fucking opinion, is that if you are under 18 doing it, you're sick. You know, really, probably if you're under 25, I think you should be able to rent a car when you make this decision.
But I'm telling you,
at least
that there would be no pro Anna websites, no pro any of this shit, if it except for the teenagers.
Yeah. Yeah, because adults probably just wouldn't talk about
it. So we're talking about it, we're like, oh, some of these people have great ideas, and then we're being like, well, kids shouldn't do it. But kids are who's doing it. I'm just saying that because it's like...
Well, they shouldn't.
I can't go into too much detail, but, you know, I've spent way too much time of my life with teenagers. And it's just one of the things that I think where we really screw up is that we put our heads in the sand about what they're going through. They're going through intense shit.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying that they should not be anorexic. And if they are anorexic and you're under 18... First of all, the science that I fucking read, and, you know, granted, it was probably filtered through fucking Cosmopolitan or whatever the shit, but it's that if you start dieting too young, it fucks up your metabolism forever.
Oh.
You know? So if you're doing it under 18, you are making yourself ill. You are fucking your body up, like, automatically. You know? So you should not fucking do
it. So what should a teenage girl that wants to be super skinny do?
She should exercise a whole lot.
Yeah, there you go. I think when most of those fucking websites that I looked at were like that. One girl on her Tumblr, she posted, she's a pro Anna Tumblr, and she says, post an exercise and I'll do it. I gave her sun salutations for yoga. I said, you're going to need it if you really go through with this. Because they're basically just stretches.
Right.
But, you know, so if you're into that shit, then, you know, well, that's what I would say is I would agree with Diana to this extent that if you're a teenager and you're into that shit, you know, and you want to really take it to a successful level, then exercise is the answer at your age. Is it just taking your physiology into account? If you want to be serious and hardcore about weight loss, which... You know, and really, everybody should be very responsible and conscious about their bodies. This is what I think.
Yeah. Well, and another thing that they could do, or anybody
should
do. But
I fail at this badly.
Is not eat processed foods.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is Reverend Grind. I would love to hear you pipe it on processed foods, because you're like, if I cut you open, Cheese Whiz is going to bleed out your veins. Of course, I'm a total hypocrite with my fucking bulimic Burger King bitch.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I think everybody has their issues, and everybody has their, you know.
You got that down to a science, so, like, you know, you can't see us, but basically, I'm fat, and Reverend Rides is not.
You just don't eat.
No, but I do.
Right, but I'm saying you just stop. You just, oh, you know, you tell yourself that
over here.
You tell yourself that a normal size. No, I'm not saying that you just, you know, never eat. I'm not saying that you malnourish yourself. I'm saying that, I don't know, you just make a conscious decision that a regular size portion is good enough. I'd love to just binge and.
But I
and
feel
whatever.
Like I really do when I'm eating something, and I like the way it tastes. It, especially if I'm, like, really, like, thinking about it, like, especially if I've been smoking weed.
Well, there's weight loss problem number one.
But I've cut down on that, and partially to lose weight. I really do feel like that Paula Deen clip that some brilliant meme wizard made on YouTube by just slowing that down and making us realize how hilarious it is. And that clip that we played with Paula Deen, who's this Food Network person, and we said we're going to talk about the Food Network.
Yeah.
She makes what how I've heard her described as a Southern cooking, but this abomination that this clip is from, I don't think you can blame Southern cooking for that. She made a hamburger, like I go to McDonald's and I get a hamburger, or somewhere, you know, to fucking Denny's and I get a hamburger, but with, instead of hamburger buns, even though she had hamburger buns in the scene for no damn reason, she made it a hamburger on donuts.
With a fried egg.
With a fried, yeah, and every time you that she would eat it on this funny clip version they
How
made.
How does that not sound good to you?
No, I can't do that. I don't know.
I think it would be maple syrup, too. That's just my opinion.
No, like, to really seal the deal. I love this kind of shit. I love this. Really, eat what you want and be okay with the way you look. I'm saying that's healthier behavior.
If I ate that fucking thing...
If you eat what you want, that's the first step.
I would be, like, trapped in a labyrinth of psychological problems!
Just saying, you eat whatever kind of food you want, and if you do that, then you can say, hey, you know what? I've had enough of that.
So how much would you eat of the Paula Deen donut burger?
I don't know. It depends on if I was going to eat anything else that year, probably. Not because I particularly give a shit about the calorie intake or anything else, but I think I might just, you know, need a year to shit that out. It's a monstrous, glorious-looking fucking thing that I think is worth eating. There's that YouTube video of the guy that makes the sandwich using two personal pan pizzas as the buns in them. It's this mammoth fucking horrible thing. It has no place on... I want to eat that.
When I was 16, I would have wanted to eat that real bad.
What was the thing you ate at KFC that was... You said it was too salty. That's why you didn't like it. That was your only problem with it.
Oh, the double down, or KFC double down, or double decker. It's fucking...
It's two pieces of fried chicken and gravy and bacon
sandwich,
in the middle.
Right.
And cheese,
doesn't
it?
No, that does sound good.
For the bread. It's...
I have a strange relationship with fried chicken.
It's brilliant.
I'm trying to think if it would be... I'm trying to think of an excuse to tie in at all the fact that we saw homeless people fucking the last time we went and got fried chicken.
Oh, we did. Oh, I had completely forgotten about that. God. I think that was actually more appropriately described as homeless people raping.
No, they were all hanging out afterwards like they were pals.
Yeah, but I don't think it started off that way. I think that was forced socialization at work. We were watching. That's like when you take your toddler and make them get into daycare because they just don't like anyone. That's basically what was going on with the homeless people there. They had to bring him in, rape him, just send him off into the world.
We were stuck
on the side of the 7-Eleven.
We were stuck in the drive-thru at the Church's Chicken.
God, why is it this late? I want fried chicken.
And these and they were incompetent. The people who worked there were incompetent. They kept fucking up the order. And across the street, there's three homeless guys like hanging out on some shopping carts that are turned on the side. It's like behind a building. And then we notice they're all wearing trench coats. It sounds like I'm making this shit up, but it really happened. They're all wearing trench coats, and they take turns laying down on the cart. We're like having a conversation, so it takes us a minute to figure out what's going on. They keep getting on top of each other on the cart, and then afterwards they all three just sit around and smoke cigarettes. So I don't know what the fuck was going on. We have always believed that they were fucking.
I think that's the only stance you can take. I mean, really? That's what was going on.
Okay, well, there's some more Thinspo next time you want to go to the Church's Fried
Chicken. But most Thinspo is like pictures of really skinny girls.
Well, I'm going to fix that. I'm going to create the Mindcore Thinspo product. And we're going to just take our friend Neil's porno helmet art, which we'll play it later on the show, and make people watch it when they want to eat.
Oh, you know what's really nasty is a Bezoar. That fucking grosses me out.
What is that?
A Bezoar is like a mass that forms in your intestines because you eat shit you shouldn't eat, like hair. That's a Bezoar.
It's a hairball. It's in that issue of Sandman. They get the mystical hairball.
Like, you can have a Bezoar made out of other stuff too, but mostly it's hair. Do you have a Bezoar?
Probably. Okay, so we've talked about anorexia and bulimia. we've talked about, we've mentioned fat porn. It's just kind of the idea that food gets fetishized.
Food Network is food porn.
Oh,
like,
yes,
like,
the Food Network.
Yeah, because they put, like, well, they film it like porn. Like, you get close-ups right on the action. You know, instead of staring up somebody's gaping butthole, you're looking at, like, fucking fried chicken, a hamburger, a pizza.
Well, I think these hosts are really excellent, too. Like,
oh, they sexy talk the food.
They're just great. What's a Zimmerman? Zimmerman, the guy who, like, eats, like, the fried...
Zimmern. We talked about this on my podcast last night.
No, I'm not talking about Man vs. Food. I'm talking about
No, you're talking about Bizarre Foods. That's Andrew Zimmern.
That guy is
not
great.
Not Zimmerman. His time as a homeless person took out the man from him. It's just Zimmern now. Because that's the thing. This guy was homeless, and basically they said, hey, do you want us to send you around and eat all this bizarre shit, and we'll basically give you a job doing it? And what does a homeless guy say? He says, yes, and then he's a celebrity. It's just...
But he's very charming and very interesting, and he's an excellent host. Paula Deen, from what I could tell, is also very funny.
Oh, she acts like she's your mama, like your quirky mama.
I think she is my mama.
Is your mama, and I work with her. There is a lady that I work at, like,
see,
a gallery.
You're gonna get fired for saying that.
And she reminds me of Pauline in all the best of ways. Like, she is so sweet. She's so charming. She's so southern. You know, and she's got that steel gray hair. She's just so nice.
But we must address the Uber bitch.
Yes. Oh, Anthony Bourdain. I love him.
I'll suck his cock.
I seriously have never met a person who doesn't like Anthony Bourdain that knows who he is. Ever. I'm sure that you guys are out there, and I'll probably, like, ban you from the website if you contact me.
Anthony Bourdain, he's old. I'll kill him.
No, they wouldn't say he was old. They would have some Reddit troll reason for hating Anthony Bourdain. Those pricks. I love Reddit.
With a giant, like,
and to all true Redditors, I give you mad love, but fuck trolls. I am the anti-troll.
Fuck trolls on the internet, troms. Oh,
well. Anyway, so we're talking about Anthony Bourdain and why he's so badass.
Well...
but he...
He's actually really interesting.
How the hell is he not fat?
He doesn't really sex the food, like, in the way the other ones do.
No,
he doesn't shove it in your face.
He's all, when I eat this, I'm badass.
It's kind of more like that. Yeah, it's like, eating this is sophisticated. Eating this is cosmopolitan.
I'm from Chile, and that dude made my country look so cool. And that's the other thing, is that he's a great travel, you know, reporter.
Yeah, he's a good writer. That's what it boils down to. Like, his show is good because he's a good writer.
And he's also punk rock, and he did cocaine all the time when he was young. And we have affection for writers that are like that.
Which is all writers.
No, there's some writers, I'm sure, that don't
like
do cocaine.
Like the Left Behind series.
That guy does more cocaine than anybody.
We should read those and do a podcast on that.
We should do cocaine and read them and do a podcast.
That'd be a great psychonautical experience.
No, I've read the entire thing. You guys aren't going to make it through. I'm just telling you. I have read that entire series.
Why'd you read it?
Yeah, it was part of my weird, you know, fucking psychological, gee, I really wish that Jesus was real.
Me too, dude. I was there.
Oh, God.
But I only got through, like, two of those books.
The rapture is...
No, we didn't give a fuck about the rapture. We loved the Antichrist. And back to Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, so that's why his show is good. He doesn't, like, do the tricks, you know? Like, you know, who's that chick with the big teeth? And the little eyes.
What? This is the one.
She's Italian.
There's one person.
De Laurentiis. Vagina De Laurentiis.
Oh, Gia.
Yeah, they fucking show that bitch's cleavage so much.
Oh, that's great.
Like,
is she good looking?
And they use the soft porn lighting on that show. It has soft porn lighting, and she's hunched over, showing her boobs, and just talking about the gnocchi.
Is she
gnocchi.
Hot?
No, she's got really big teeth and little eyes. She scares me.
I love gnocchi.
Gnocchi.
That's good shit. I had some homemade gnocchi like a year ago. It was badass.
Yeah, well, but she food porns it up.
And I love Italian sexuality.
Especially when I'm eating.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely on some level like a food fetishist. I can't say that I've had any success with it in actual sex. I love the idea of it.
Ew.
With food and sex.
Ew, that's not hygienic.
Well, then you don't have to go to the nether mouth.
What are you gonna do with the food then, sexually?
There's all kinds of shit. You ever read any Anne Rice or nothing?
No, you've seen this. You've seen that food party on that episode of Real Sex. That is the most fucking disgusting, weird thing in the fucking world.
Oh, yeah, they, like, lick it off each other, but they're sticky, rubbing against each other with their nasty mouths.
Yeah, no, I would have to have sugar-free everything. My shit would be aspartame orgy.
I bet flies come to that.
Yeah, that also sounds horrible.
Ooh, now I want to write a Clive Barker short story about a fly-covered orgy.
Yeah, like, stinging, biting flies that make you sick. And they're from outer space. Let's write that Clive Barker story.
I've known at least one guy who masturbated with a melon.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
Did you see it
story.
Or did he just say it? Because everybody says that kind of fucking bullshit.
Well, apparently this person also had like a rig where like they had a bag in between the mat.
Okay,
two
did anybody see the rig?
With like petroleum jelly.
No, listen. We were all hardcore masturbators in this scene.
Yes, I'm saying that doesn't make somebody Inspector Gadget.
Alright, we've definitely degenerated into some nonsensical banter, and hopefully it's still been funny. We thought it was funny.
Yeah, obviously.
But you know, I guess to just recap a little bit, food is doing chemical things to your brain. We have culture around food. Just be more aware about this kind of stuff, and if you've got any interesting info, please send it to us, because we'll probably recap on this issue again in the future. Mm-hmm. Yay! Stick around. We're going to be a lot more hardcore about posting, and our next episode is going to be on the occult.
Keep in mind, too, that the next episode will be on, and this episode, no matter where you follow it from originally, is on mindcorestudios.com.
Yes!
That is our new home. We exist.
Yes!
You can also find the Random Bits of Geek podcast there. Yes! You get a lot of stuff that's us and our friends kind of coming together and taking over the world. It's mindcorestudios.com. It's your source for all this kind of stuff.
And we love you. Bye-bye. We give you a song. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
Good.